response from Matthew 21, from verse 28 to 32. And the title of the sermon is A Warning to Gospel Hardened Religious Hearers. A Warning to Gospel Hardened Religious Hearers. It's a sermon that is meant for me. And if you could join me as I share, for that title is a title that I know we all need as believers. And if you know the context around it, the parable, you will see that the Lord was very deliberate to reach out to these people. And he always reached out to them. He reached out to them throughout his time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes. But then, if there's one thing the Lord hates, there's one sin that is really abhorred by the Lord, it is the sin of hypocrisy. He warned even the disciples not to eat the leaven of the Pharisee. It is hypocrisy. And I got news for you this morning. We all have a bit of this hypocrisy. All of us have a bit of it. We show up for the sake of showing up. Or rather, we put up a show. And many of us, especially in the church, sometimes we go along this line. So, it is something the Lord warned, and that's why he warned the disciples, even though they are not Pharisees, he warned them against it. And we also must be warned about this sin called hypocrisy. Growing up, I don't know where you grew up. I grew up in Dapongwe area, and we have this slogan then. I'm sure you know it. It's a pidgin slogan. I know green, I did tear cloth. If you know the meaning, it's like, it is when you say you disagree with people that you guys get to a fight. So just agree and let the person just go, so you have peace, even though in your heart you do not agree. So many people put up attitude where facially they agree with you so that there won't be too much quarrel, but in their heart they do not agree with you. So I don't agree, not the tear cloth. It's a hypocritical attitude that we all have most times, because we don't want to get into people's book and the rest. But then it has been brought into the church. It has been brought into the things of the Lord. And the Lord is quick to point it out, as we see in this parable. People are quick to jump into the bandwagon. They come, they don't even fully understand what's happening. They just follow. And they think all will be well. Turn with me to Matthew 21. And you see the context before I get to this parable. The Lord had just bruised them. Matthew 21, from verse 12. The Lord had just dealt them a punch when he came to the temple and overturned all their tables. So the anger was there. And then they saw him speaking with authority. So they were waiting to trap him. And they got to this point where they asked him the question, who gave you this authority? What boldness to enter into the temple and just throw everything away? Who gave you this authority? And the Lord, knowing all men, knowing that they were planning to trap him, gave them an answer that answered them by asking them a question. We were told also that Nigerians are the ones that answer questions with question. We all learned from the Lord, I guess. The Lord asked them a question to see, to expose their ploy. And that was where their hypocrisy came up. And that precipitated and brought about that parable. He knew if he had told them his authority was from God, they would say he has blasphemed and they want to catch him. And also he knew if he had said it was from man, he would be ridiculed. So he threw back to them the question using John the Baptist. And they said no. Of course, they knew the answer. But then they said they did not know. The Lord told that parable of the two sons to expose the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. And you will see, as we look into that parable, in Matthew 21, you will see how he used this short story, one of the shortest parables in the Bible, to reveal the heart of these Pharisees. The Bible has two sons, a father, two sons, and he came asking these two sons to go and walk in his vineyard today. And their response to the father's request or command is what revealed their heart. And we can dive into this parable quickly and see how their response shows the hypocrisy that is in the heart of the Pharisee. The first son, Matthew 21 verse 28, the first son, the father asked him, look at it, he said, a man had two sons and he came to the first and said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. And the son responded in verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. I'm sure some of us have been here before. Growing up, when our fathers, our mothers tell us to go and do this, and we try to prove that we are stubborn. But then maybe as you are right there in your corner, you remember the consequence of your action. You remember that when your dad comes, that your mom reports you, something devastating will happen to you. And that helps us change our mind. That's what happened to this first son. He probably remembered the consequences of his action. And quickly, he went to do what he had already said he would not do. And this first son, the Lord used it to typify the harlots and the publican. They were brought up under the law of God as Jewish people. They were all catechized. They followed their parents to the temple, to the feast. They all attended the Day of Atonement and all the feasts in the Old Testament. They grew up proper Jew, raised to memorize the laws of God. But they rejected everything they were taught. And hence, they became harlots and publicans. But then when John came, and if you have read Malachi, the Lord, seeing the evil of the day, said, we're going to send a forerunner. When John came, even the Lord also came, preaching and warning. Many of these publicans changed their minds. I'm sure one of them will be the harlot. One of them will be the thief on the cross. They all grew up learning the laws of God, but they changed their mind. They didn't believe what they taught. They were taught in their early age. But when they were faced with death for the thief on the cross, but then for these ones, when the true preaching of gospel came, the warning from John the Baptist and the Lord, many of them changed their mind. Indeed, this should give every parent hope, every Sunday school teacher listening to me, hope. Sometimes we labor over our children several years. You've done everything. They can recite the catechism from back to front. They know the laws of God. And yet, they grow up to become wayward. And you wonder, what have you done wrong? Do not be discouraged. Here is a son who rejected and said no to the father in the early stage. But then, later on, regretted his decisions and turned back. And so, we keep telling them. We keep preaching and praying for this young one that we have. For those who are parents here, you don't relent. You don't turn it to cursing. Some have started to lay curses on their children because they've done all and the child will not change. The child has brought disgrace to the family. But then this should give you some form of encouragement. And truly, no matter how much we labor on our children, no matter how much we pray, no matter how much we do in these outreaches, there will be some who will say, no, I will not, to all that we are telling them. Do we condemn them for that? No, we don't give up. We continue, for we have seen from this scripture that the Lord truly will save those he will save. There's a chance for them to remember what they have learned and turn back. That verse in verse 29, word in verse 29 said, and afterward he regretted and went. So that this should be the prayer of every parent here. Every parent here should have this prayer in mind that your rebellious child, that one that you are teaching every day at home and yet is still obstinate and rebellious, will come to the point where they will regret their actions. They might be in their 20s, 30s, some 40s, that the Lord will bring them to regret their actions. And for those who are teachers here, Sunday school teachers, do not give up. Keep praying. And sometimes we go to their homes and get feedback and we are alarmed how these children answer all our questions in class. But at home, they are devils. Will you pull back and think all that you have done is a waste? No. We must continue to pray. We do not lose hope. Rather, we pray. We pray to the Lord to change their mind. That word regret means he changed his mind. But then for the second son, his own response revealed the hypocrisy of the Pharisee. His own response was what the Lord was using to target the Pharisee. And then he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. The word sir here means Lord. It's the same word the guys in Matthew 7 verse 22 used. Lord, Lord, you did this in your name. It's the same word. And so his response was expressive of respect and reverence. It's the kind of response you expect from a servant to meet his master. I go, sir. Oh, I go, my Lord. He was gentle. He was orthodox. He was respectful, religious, reverent. But he didn't go. And that typifies the Pharisee. He didn't do the will of the Father. And then you ask yourself, what could be the problem? What could be going on in the mind of such people when they agree to all that is said, and yet they did not do it? I have two or three points to look at to see if this could be the reasons for their actions. One, it could be pretense. Pharisees are satisfied with external duties of religion. They neglect their soul, but they are better off. They just prefer, so far everything is good, outwardly they are fine. They think their external works will make ground for them. They pretend to be obedient, but they are crooks. And the Lord called them whitewashed grave. Whitewashed grave. So pretense is perhaps one of the biggest reasons for such an answer for that second son. But the second one is also perhaps what we can call the spirit of Herod. Herod loved to listen to John the Baptist. He gladly listened to him. He knew he was holy. And he wanted to protect him. But Herod never repented. Listening to John the Baptist became a hobby for Herod. It was like listening to his favorite soundtrack. And truly, many are like this in the church. They love to listen to Piper, Sproul, MacArthur, Conrad. These are all, they become second nature. And their sermons have become music in your ears. And there's nothing wrong listening to sound biblical exposition. And truly, you love such sound, clear expositions of the Bible. You love to read the Puritans. You love Calvin. There's nothing wrong with these things. But like Herod, he ends there. And so, your Facebook wall is awash with quotes from this man. Your life is far, far from what you listen to. If you are measured by what you know, you will rot in hell. And so we need to be careful. The spirit of Herod, sometimes that can lead to such quick answer from that guy. For sometimes it baffles me when people read George Whitefield and Jonathan Edwards and Calvin and Puritans and they are still worldly. You read Edwards and you are a new Calvinist or you are a hyper-Calvinist and you read Whitefield. These are men who were evangelical in all, in every sense. They were there preaching day in and out. And you read them and you hide in the house. So beware of this spirit of Herod. You love to read these men, but you do not obey what they say. You love the Puritans, which are worldly. Do not deceive yourself like Herod, who identify with the truth just for the show of it. Lastly, This one might be popular among those who are Pentecostals. Some people perhaps entered Christianity because they think they've been promised a lot of things. They think Christianity is a jolly ride. They are eager to follow the Lord, thinking all their life's problems will be solved. And so, like Pliable in Pilgrim's Progress, you know him? Pliable thought everything would be fine, so he followed Christian. The very first bus stop, he entered the slough of despond, and he ran back. And so many also join in, thinking that their problem will be solved. You get a husband, your family curse will be broken. 5 years down the line, nothing has happened. Your situations have become worse. And so you go from "I go, sir," to "I go not." They get tired easily. They burn out because what they have promised, what they have been promised, is not coming to pass. Beloved, does any of these describe you? Are you a pretender? Or you have the spirit of Herod? Or you are one of those that have been promised that when you come to the Lord, all will be well. And once you see that nothing is happening, you turn back. All of us must check ourselves. All of us must ensure that we measure ourselves by this second son. The second son's response is the key part of this parable used to measure the heart or to gauge the heart of the Pharisees. So the Lord then asked them a question, because when he gave the parable, he asked them to give him an answer to that parable. And that question is so instructive in verse 31. The Lord asked them, "Which of these did the father's will?" And this is very instructive. The father's will is not done by what we say or what we agree to. Being a cessationist or a Reformed Baptist doesn't mean you have done the father's will. Knowing the doctrines of grace doesn't make you a Christian. Calling him Lord, Lord doesn't mean you have done his will. "I go, sir," doesn't make you a Christian. Our faith in Christ is not measured by words alone, but by our deeds. And I'm sure Pastor Tony knows this. Many of the founding families in this church are all gone. Where are they? And even now, some of you that started well, 5-10 years down the line, you've suddenly grown cold up to the point that you are frozen. The doctrines are still in your head, but life is ebbing away slowly. Beware. You can't hold on to your profession of faith alone. You must show your works. You must do and obey what you have said yes to. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? That's James 2:14. And the Lord roared in John 14 verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandment." It's not enough to say yes. We must obey him. And so the Lord, having told them all this, then applied the parable. It's a very simple parable. He applied it himself in that verse 31. And you see, if you look at the application, we can draw our own personal applications from this that the Lord said. In verse 31 of Matthew 21, the Lord said, "Which of these did the father's will?" And they said to him, "The first." And Christ said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." This application applies to us here, because many are gospel hardened nowadays. Gospel hardened religious hearers. They give ears to hear the word of God, but they do not do any of this. But then if you look at what the Lord's answer or application, you probably want to ask, why did he say so? And this has also generated some confusion among interpreters. You might think that the Lord is saying the Pharisees will also go to the kingdom of heaven. Look at what the Lord said. "I say to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you." So at first glance, it might look as if they too will enter the kingdom, not minding their hypocrisy. But we know that's not the true meaning of that text. The most appropriate explanation, my own view, is that the Lord ranked the Pharisee below the harlots and publican when it comes to the matter of salvation. I will explain. In the order of who can be saved and who can enter the kingdom of God, he ranked the Pharisee lower than the publican. In the order of who can be easily converted, he ranked the Pharisee lower than the publican. It's like when he said it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man. It is easier to prevail on a criminal to repent than to prevail on the gospel-hardened religious hearer. And this is astonishing. An eye-opener for all of us. It's easier for a harlot and a publican to repent and enter the kingdom of God than a hypocrite and a religious Pharisee. The gospel-hardened hypocrite has slimmer chance to repent than clear-cut sinners. A criminal has a better chance. A Yahoo boy of our day. And sometimes when you go to them and preach the gospel, they agree. They might struggle, but they agree. The criminals of our day have a better chance of repentance than you, my brother, my sister, if you are a gospel-hardened religious hearer. If you choose to hide under the pretense of orthodoxy or reformed worship, it will be difficult for you. See, for these guys, they know they have nothing to hold on to. You tell them they are sinners, they agree before the word leaves your mouth. And they are convicted if the Lord saves them. But for us, many of us here hang on to election. They hang on to regeneration. And yet, you are not repentant. But how can you dare mention regeneration in your mouth or election when you are not repentant of your sins? And this is the danger of those who are gospel hardened. They know the right doctrines, but their life speak opposite. Imagine being told that the thief can easily repent. How will you feel? How will it come to you if this is the first time you are hearing it? For sometimes we think those who are in the church are the easiest to reach. But I tell you from this parable, they are the hardest to reach sometimes. And that's why we see false churches. You go on evangelism, once you say, the Lord, I've brought the gospel to you, they'll tell you, I'm a Christian. Go to that other person. But engage them for 2 minutes and ask them about salvation. They tell you about works. Some don't even listen to anyone. They've become gospel hardened. This should wake all of us up. And it has implications. And I'll share 3 implications with us as I round up this sermon. If you are a gospel-hardened person, what it means is that you are at the risk of hell right from the door of the church. If you read Pilgrim's Progress, one of those sojourners, Mr. Presumptuous, I guess. He got to the door of heaven before he was shown the road to hell. That means that you live all your life in church. You die, they give you a befitting funeral, thinking you are home. But then you are in hell. Remember those guys in Matthew 7? I'm sure they were shocked. They said, Lord, Lord, we have done this in your name. Then the Lord said, I never knew you. Depart from me because you practice lawlessness. They never did the will of the Father. The same thing the son, second son did not do. Even though they said, yes, sir, Lord, Lord. That life was far away from the life the Father wanted him to live. And so we must be careful. You run the risk of going to hell right from the door of the church. If a hardened gospel, a gospel-hardened religious hearer. Secondly, the implication, I've mentioned it, but I'll say it again, it is more difficult to reach you. You are more difficult to reach or to preach to. Because you already know the truth. You know the right word. You agree with all the doctrines. You can't be fooled by a false teacher. Even though you fool yourself. You say, Lord, Lord. They are written all over your walls and social media. Anyone check you out online, they will be greeted with a quote from Spurgeon or Calvin. And yet, your life is different. Look at what Charles Spurgeon said about such people. Well written, I'll read it out. He said, oh, beware of saying as some of you do, I go, sir, while you go not. I sometimes see sick people who quite alarm and distress me. I say to them, my dear friends, you are dying. Have you a hope? There's no answer. Do you know you are lost? Yes, sir. Christ died for sinners? Yes, sir. Faith gives us his grace? Yes, sir. They say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. I wish sometimes they will contradict me so I will know how to honestly handle them. If they say they do not believe, I will know how to deal with them. Oh, brethren, beware of being gospel hardened. Beware of being a promising hearer of the word of God and nothing more. And so we must watch this lifestyle. And we all have it. Because hypocrisy is part of the sin of the fall. And so we must check ourselves daily so we will not be this second son. The third point I have about the implications of being a gospel-hardened person is that your judgment is worse. Your judgment is going to be worse. You agree with the truth, but then you do not do them. Remember the false prophet in 2 Peter? Peter said in verse 21 of 2 Peter chapter 2, if it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness and haven't known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. And this happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returned to his own vomit. A soul having washed to a wallowing in the mare. We must rid ourselves of this. At least for everyone, we must check ourselves and say, yes, I know the doctrines. Yes, I agree with this and that. But is my life growing in proportion to what I've learned? Hypocrites have double condemnation. Double. The Lord said it in verse 32 of Matthew 21. He said, you do not repent. And when you see the Pharisees and the publicans and harlots repent, you still do not repent. So that they have double condemnation. The Lord has come, they will not hear. John came, they did not hear. And now, the publicans are repenting. The harlots are repenting. And yet, you hold your ground, believing that what you know is enough for you. But I have a word for those who are lost. For I'm sure the Lord is not here to pamper and encourage the harlots and the publican. A word to those listening to me are not religious. There's nothing wrong in knowing the truth. But here, listening to me, and you fit the description of the publican and harlot, a blatant sinner, those who do not care or give too much interest to the things of God. I'm sure as you have been following me, you see that it's easier for you to repent than those who are religious. And so that puts more burden on you. You have no excuse. It's easier for you to repent. You have less burden as God's word comes to you. So if you delay, your judgment will be worse also. For he has made everything possible to you. You have not been clogged up with too much error. You have a heart already pricked as you are listening to me with God's word. So it's time to turn from your sins. Do not delay. Call upon his name and he will save you. I conclude as I see the Lord wrapping up his talk with the Pharisees. He told two other parables. And God willing, perhaps I might bring those other two parables. But I'll conclude by saying this. Hypocrisy should not be tolerated, my friends, in our lives. Hypocrisy shouldn't be tolerated. Blatant rejection of God's law or God's word may be subdued in the process of time. Might go slowly. But hypocrisy only grows worse. The more you increase in knowledge, the more your hypocrisy grows. The more you are confirmed. Even when, if it's going to get worse, perhaps you are doing a ministry and God is blessing that ministry. You are stuck. You must be careful. Search your heart. Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so we must ask the Lord to search it and expose our hypocrisy to us. We all have a bit of this. Be true to yourself. Don't hide under the doctrines that you know. Check to see if you are truly saved. Admit your hopelessness. Admit your helplessness. Call upon the Lord that he may help you. Many of us are like Lot. We are stuck in Sodom. We are vexed with the sin, but we can't leave. And when they come for your strangers, you give them your daughters. Sin upon sin. He was hopeless and helpless. But then the angel came and dragged him out. And so the Lord also can drag us out of our hypocrisy if we call upon his name even now. So we should cry to him that he might drag us away from this life. There's nothing wrong in understanding the truth of God's word. But what you know must be life. And God is committed to that. He will make the light of the knowledge of his glory to shine in our hearts in the face of Christ. Obey his call for repentance from your sins. Obey his call for you to follow him. Let us bow our heads and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have it, oh Lord. We can't deny. And sometimes we're just barely getting along. Our prayer life in shambles. Bible study in shambles. We feed on old corn. We put up a face, oh Lord. If you deal with us, if you bless us as we are spiritually, many of us will be sick daily. If our finances is like our spiritual life, we'll be broke, oh Lord. For your mercy always tore us above all these things. And we do not take it for granted, oh Lord. And so as you warn your disciples to beware of the hypocrisy, the leaven of the Pharisee, help us to beware. Help us to be warned. Not to be the yes, I go men and women. But to be those who repent and regret our actions and turn back to you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you have given to us to learn. And oh Lord, as you teach us and train us, as those materials come, as we read of the saints that have gone, help that we will gain all that we are learning from them and use it in our lives. And the word of Christ with wisdom will be mixed in our heart, will be used to sing hymns and spiritual songs in our heart. That it will not be there for us to argue or to be polemic, but Lord, to live out a life that is well pleasing to you. Make us men, O Lord, that will truly bear your name. Men who love you and do your commandment. Blessed be your holy name, my heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we pray.